I invite you to turn with me to the Word of God this morning, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we'll read the verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The text for the sermon this morning is verses 37 and 38 of this passage that we have read together. These words, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And then verse 38, "Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." So far, our text. Beloved congregation, some things in life are impossible. Children, if you were standing at the back of the sanctuary this morning and I said to you, "Come up here beside me to the pulpit without walking, without jumping, without hopping, without rolling," could you do it? If I asked you to go to the base of a great mountain and lift it up and move it over 2 or 3 feet, could you do it? If I asked you to make yourself 2 feet taller or 2 feet shorter, could you do it? Could you fly across the sky? Could you go to the moon and back? Could you stop the sun or the earth from rotating? It's impossible. No one can do any of these things. And you wouldn't even bother trying. But you know, with God, nothing, nothing is impossible. And that's the clear teaching of our text this morning. It's a very well-known passage from the Word of God. One day the angel Gabriel came to Mary in Nazareth. He told her some astounding news, that she would give birth to a baby boy. And this baby boy would be the Messiah. He would be the Son of God. And you remember Mary's reaction upon hearing this news. She was totally astounded. And she wondered, "How can this be? Because I'm not married. How can I have a child?" And Gabriel told her something even more astounding. He said, "Mary, you will conceive apart from the ordinary means of procreation. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and as a result of his overshadowing of you, you will conceive in your womb." And then, as if to assure her that this was possible, Gabriel says, "With God, nothing
will be impossible. Those are wonderful words. They tell us a lot about who God is and what He is capable of doing. And they are words that are full of comfort for the people of God. And so with that in mind, we will reflect especially on those words this morning under this theme, Mary assured of God's unlimited power. Mary assured of God's unlimited power. And we'll consider, first of all, the need for this assurance. Secondly, the ground of this assurance. And thirdly, the response to this assurance. Gabriel, in our text, assures Mary that nothing is impossible with God. With God, he says, nothing will be impossible. Now, why did Gabriel say this? Why did Mary need to be assured of this? Well, the answer, and we've already alluded to that in our introduction, the answer is because the angel Gabriel told her things that, from a human point of view, were almost impossible to believe. What did he tell her? Well, he told her, first of all, that she would give birth to a baby boy. We read in verse 31, and behold, he says, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, that in itself is a miracle. Every birth is a miracle. Every time a woman conceives in her womb is a miracle. It's beyond our comprehension. Medical science has tried to duplicate what happens in the womb, and it's not easy. It's impossible to create the basic building blocks of life, and so this in itself is quite something. Mary will conceive, bring forth a son. And even the name of the child is given. And she shall call his name Jesus. That tells us that there's something very special about this little boy that Mary was about to give birth to. But secondly, the angel Gabriel tells her that he would be no ordinary boy. He would be, in fact, a great king. He says in verse 32, he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest. In other words, he would be the Son of God himself. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there would be no end. I think especially of those last words. Every king has a kingdom that comes to an end. Either the king himself dies or the kingdom is destroyed and is replaced by another kingdom. But this son of Mary, his kingdom will never end. Amazing. But thirdly, as if that wasn't enough, Gabriel told her that she would conceive this boy apart from the normal means of procreation. The power of the Holy Spirit would come upon her. He says in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, congregation, I don't know about you, but I know that if I were Mary, I would find this very difficult to believe. Oh, I could accept the fact that I would give birth to a baby boy. I could even accept the fact, if I were Mary, that my little boy would grow up to be a great king, even the promised Messiah. But what I would find very difficult to accept is that this boy would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Without a man. And I'm not alone in that. During the 19th century, there were many theologians, both here in North America as well as in Europe, who questioned the doctrine of the virgin birth. Some of them even denied it outright. It's impossible, they said. A virgin cannot conceive a child. That is contrary to nature and it's contrary to reason. And so they disputed this doctrine and they denied it openly. The congregation, if that was true for theologians, men who made a living out of studying the Bible, then surely it was true for Mary. A simple, uneducated peasant girl from Nazareth. In fact, the context suggests that it was exactly this point that Mary found the most difficult to accept. And we deduce that from the fact that immediately after telling her that she would conceive in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit, Gabriel goes on to tell her that her cousin Elizabeth, who was barren and well advanced in years, that she was already 6 months pregnant. So how do we explain that? Well, there's only one explanation, and that is the power of God. It was by the power of God that Elizabeth was able to conceive in her womb, and it was by that same power that Mary would conceive in her womb. And then, as if to give her one final assurance, Gabriel speaks the words of our text, "For with God," he says, "nothing will be impossible." The tense of the verb here in the Greek suggests that this is an abiding principle. It's as though Gabriel was saying to Mary, with God, nothing is, nothing has ever been, and nothing will ever be impossible. God can do anything. And therefore you can trust in Him. Therefore you can believe in Him. He can do it. And He will do it. Well, that's quite a statement. We would have an easier time accepting what Gabriel said to Mary had he said something like this: with God, most things are possible. Or even with God, almost everything is possible. But Gabriel doesn't say that. He says, with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Do we believe that this morning? We often have such small thoughts of God, don't we? Oh yes, intellectually we know that God is capable of doing anything. We learn about that from the time, most of us, from the time that we are children. But do we always live out of that? When certain things happen in our lives that seem to us to be so impossible, when there are obstacles that seem to us to be so insurmountable, do we live out of the statement of the angel Gabriel that with God, nothing will be impossible? Well, perhaps you say this morning, I would like to live out of that, but how can I be sure of this? What is the ground of this assurance? That's our second point. When Gabriel told Mary that with God nothing will be impossible, he was not merely saying something that sounded good. He wasn't just saying something to make Mary feel better, to put her a little bit at ease. No, he was expressing a profound teaching of Holy Scripture. In fact, the words that Gabriel uses here to Mary can be found in more or less the same format in both the Old and the New Testaments. And I think in the first place here of Genesis 18, verse 14, it's the first time this truth is expressed. There we have the account of the Lord speaking to Abraham as he had pitched his tent in the plains of Mamre. You remember how he came there with two other men, two angels, and he informed Abraham that soon he and his wife Sarah would have a son. And then remember, children, how Sarah was on the other side of the tent, and she was listening in on the conversation. And when she heard the one man say that Sarah would give birth to a son, we read in the text that she laughed within herself, saying, "Shall I, who am old, bear a son?"
Knowing this, for the Lord knows everything, he said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?'" And then he said this, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And that's a rhetorical question, meaning the answer is implied. No! Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is impossible for God. If God says that Sarah shall have a son in her old age, then Sarah shall have a son.
The second time this truth is expressed is in Jeremiah 32, verse 17. And there we read about how Jeremiah one day purchased a field from his cousin Hanameel. And after finalizing the purchase, we read how Jeremiah gave a title deed to the field to Baruch, his personal secretary, and he instructed him to keep it in an earthen vessel for many days. And he did that in order to assure the people of Judah that although they would be taken away into captivity, the Lord, after many days, would cause them to return to the land of promise and possess their lands and houses once again. And we read in verses 16 and 17 of Jeremiah 32, "Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you.'" There you have the same idea. Nothing is too hard for God.
The third time this truth is expressed is in the New Testament, in Matthew 19, verse 26. It was the account of Jesus meeting the rich young ruler. And you remember, children, the story how this rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Lord, what do I have to do in order to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you keep the commandments." And he began to list off some of them. "You shall not kill, you shall not steal," and so on. And then the rich young ruler said to Jesus, "All these I have kept from my youth up." And Jesus looked at him and he said, "You lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And we read that when this young man heard these words, he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. And as the man departed, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "How hard is it for those who are rich to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished. And they said to him, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so what Gabriel says here didn't just come from his own head. What he says is the teaching of Holy Scripture. With God, nothing will be impossible. And do we not see much evidence of that throughout the Scriptures? Consider God's work of creation. Children, how did God make the world and everything in it? Well, you know, he did it by speaking a word. That's all he did. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He simply spoke. And whatever God said came into being. And now if God is able to do that, if God is able to create this world of ours and everything in it simply by speaking a word, he can do anything. Consider too God's work of redemption. When man fell into sin, he brought upon himself the wrath and judgment of God. Man had to die. But then we read that no sooner did man fall into sin than God came to the rescue and he promised to send the Messiah,
the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent, that he would pay the penalty for our sins. He would be our mediator. And not just any mediator. Because there were many mediators. Moses was a mediator, but this would be a greater mediator, for he would be fully human and fully divine. Fully human, of course, because it was man who sinned, and therefore man has to pay the penalty for sin, but fully divine, because only a divine being could sustain the wrath of God against sin and live. And who was this mediator? It was, of course, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, as we commemorated last week, as we meditated upon last week, in the fullness of time, God sent him forth, born of a woman. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we sinners, rebels by nature, might receive the adoption as sons. What a miracle. Humanly speaking, beloved, our condition was utterly hopeless. We were destined to die. But with God, nothing is impossible. God designed a way whereby sinners like us can be saved. And it is through faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing is impossible for God. Consider, thirdly, his works in history. Consider how God delivered his people Israel from slavery in Egypt with 10 terrible plagues. How he destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. We sang of that before the sermon. How he utterly annihilated Pharaoh and his hosts in the midst of the Red Sea. Consider how the Lord sustained and fed and led his people for 40 years in the wilderness, and how eventually he brought them into the land of promise, and he enabled them to take possession of that land, destroying all of the enemies that lived in that land, sometimes without the people even having to raise a sword. Consider how he allowed his people to be taken away into captivity, first the 10 tribes of the north by the Assyrians, and then the tribe of Judah by the Babylonians. But after 70 years, he allowed a remnant to return and to rebuild the temple of God in preparation for the coming of Christ. Consider how after his ascension into heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ endowed his disciples with the power of the Holy Spirit, such that they could go out into all the world and preach the gospel and plant churches in every corner of the Roman Empire. Consider how several centuries later, in the midst of great persecution and opposition, that the Christian religion became the official religion of that same empire that once persecuted that faith. Consider how centuries later, the Lord raised up the reformers, men like Calvin and Luther and Knox, the Puritans, and those who followed in their footsteps to revive his church, to reform his church. Consider how the Lord has preserved his church in the midst of schism and heresy and false teaching and spiritual deadness throughout all the centuries right up to the present time. God did all of this in history, and if he can do that, he can do anything. Consider, too, his miracles. Consider how he caused Abraham and Sarah to bear a son in their old age. Consider how he parted the waters of the Red Sea. Consider how he fed his people Israel with manna and quail and caused water to come from the rock. Consider how he caused the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down. Consider how he fed his servant Elijah with the mouth of a raven every day. Consider also the many miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ himself performed, how he healed the sick, how he cast out the demons, how he restored sight to the blind and fed the hungry with only a few loaves and a few small fish. And when you consider again all of the great miracles that God has performed, then we say with Gabriel, with God, nothing is impossible. God can do anything. And now, having surveyed all of this, I ask you again, congregation, do you believe it? Do you believe that nothing is impossible with God? Well, by nature, we don't believe this at all. By nature, we think that if it's impossible to us, if we don't see a way out of it, then it is impossible. But that is not the language of faith. Faith says that even though it is impossible to man, it is not impossible for God. Faith says what Gabriel says, with God, nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible. And what a comfort that is. It is a comfort, first of all, to those of you who are weak in faith and cannot yet say that Christ is your Savior. And every Sunday again, you hear the call to repent and believe. And you hear that that call is well meant, that God will save anyone who calls upon Him. And yet, for some reason, you believe that salvation is impossible for you. Your sins are too great. Your heart is too hard. Your faith is too weak. You're not striving hard enough to put sin to death and walk in the ways of the Lord. You don't read your Bible enough. You don't pray enough. And on and on and on it goes. And maybe that's why some of you were not at the table of the Lord last week. But beloved, we learn here in our text that what is impossible for us is possible with God. There is no sin too great that He cannot forgive. There is no heart too hardened that He cannot change. God can save anyone at any time, anywhere. For with God, nothing is impossible.
But this truth is also a great comfort to those who know that they are children of God. We have here a rich source of consolation in the midst of the uncertainties of life. And it goes without saying, beloved, that we live in very uncertain times. The economy is not exactly stable. There's almost the constant threat of terrorist attacks. North Korea, we are told, is in possession of nuclear weapons, and Iran is not far behind, and many questions arise in our minds, and we feel very unsettled, and we wonder, what will the future bring? What will the new year bring? How will our children, how will our grandchildren survive in this dark world? From our perspective, it seems so dark, it seems so impossible, and the problems in this world seem so insurmountable. Makes us feel unsettled. And we wonder, where's the solution? But listen, with God, nothing is impossible. We have here also a rich source of comfort in times of hardship and trial. And some of you have undergone such times and are even now undergoing such times. Some of us here have lost a loved one this past year, perhaps a long time ago. The pain is still there. It hurts. You have problems in your marriage. You don't see a solution. You have children who are not walking in the ways of the Lord, and you pray for them.
You talk to them. You plead with them. Nothing seems to work. You don't see a solution. Your business not doing as well as you had hoped. Your problems with your health. Financial problems. Some of you struggling with depression. Feel that there's no way out. Everything is dark. There's no hope. There's no joy anymore. These are very real problems, real difficulties, real things that ordinary people struggle with day after day after day. And I don't have the exact solution to all the problems that we face. Nobody does. But what I can tell you, beloved, is that with God, nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Quite a statement. God is able to do far more than we give Him credit for. Now that does not mean that God will do what we ask or think. We mustn't fall into the trap of the purveyors of the so-called health and wealth gospel who say that, well, God doesn't want you to be sick and God doesn't want you to be financial, to have financial cares and worries. God wants you to be healthy and He wants you to be wealthy. No, no. That's not true. That's not biblical. The Lord does send trials and hardships to His people for a reason. And we need to learn that grace to try to understand what God is saying to us in the midst of hardship and trial. And yes, while it is true that nothing is impossible with God, that does not mean that God will take it away. We cannot expect that just because God is able to do something, that He will do it. There's only one thing that God will never, ever, ever refuse to do. And what is that? He will never refuse to save a sinner who cries out to Him for mercy. But aside from that, whatever else we ask Him depends on the sovereign good pleasure of God. And yet, nothing is impossible for Him. Now that is the truth of Scripture. How do we respond to that? Well, how did Mary respond to that? That's our third and final point. Well, to be sure, congregation, this message that Gabriel gave to Mary was not easy to believe. First, she was asked to believe that she would give birth to a baby. Then she was asked to believe that this baby would go on to become the Son of God and the promised Messiah. Then she was asked to believe that she would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in light of all of these amazing things, we could well understand if Mary had responded in total unbelief. Had Mary said, no, I don't believe any of that. That's contrary to nature. That's contrary to reason. But she doesn't do that, does she? How does she respond? We read in verse 38 that Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Mary believed the words that Gabriel had spoken. She didn't try to reason them out. She didn't raise all kinds of objections and lay down all kinds of conditions. She simply took Gabriel at his word. And to reinforce her submission, she calls herself a maidservant. As a maidservant, she was at the disposal of God. Whatever He wanted from her, she would gladly give it. And she would do it even though what the angel had told her might make her the object of ridicule and scorn. Because can you imagine what her friends and her neighbors would have said when they started to see that Mary was showing? You can imagine how the whole town of Nazareth must have been full of talk and gossip. And how Mary must have been hurt so deeply by that talk because she knew what had happened. Even if others did not. And she must have anticipated even at this early juncture what people might say, and yet it didn't matter to her. Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. She submitted to God in everything. And she believed the word of God. Compare Mary's response to the response of Zacharias in the same chapter, verse 18. You remember the story how Zacharias was burning incense to the Lord in the holy place of the temple, and suddenly the angel Gabriel appeared to him also and told him that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son in their old age and that he would be the forerunner of the Messiah. Very similar news to what Gabriel had given to Mary, but how did Zacharias respond to that? We read in verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." Zacharias responded in unbelief. He simply couldn't believe that his wife, who was barren and well past the age of childbearing, that she would give birth to a son, and therefore Zacharias demands a sign. He wanted the angel to perform some miracle so that he would know for certain that what he had said was true. But would Mary read nothing of the sort? Oh yes, Mary also asked Gabriel a question. She wanted to know how she could conceive a child, even though she was not married, even though she was not attached to a man. But that was a question for clarification. It was not the question prompted by unbelief. Mary responded in faith. She believed the word that Gabriel had spoken. And what about us this morning? What is our response to the things that we have heard? We have heard this morning that with God nothing is impossible. And the question is, do we believe that? Not just with the mind, but do we believe it in the heart? And will we allow that truth to sink deep down into our minds and into our hearts? And will we allow it to affect our life? Will we live out of that truth? No matter what life may bring, no matter how difficult the circumstances may be, no matter how great the obstacles will be, will our motto be, with God, nothing is impossible. So, congregation, this is the response that the Lord wants us to have to His Word this morning. He doesn't want us to doubt Him. He doesn't want us to question His unlimited power. But He wants us to believe in Him and to trust in Him. He wants us to believe that with Him, nothing is impossible. He proved that in the birth of John the Baptist. He proved it in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we commemorate this coming week. Those two events, God shows us without doubt, without question, that with Him, nothing will be impossible. For Him, for Mary, for Elizabeth, and also for you, if you believe in Him. Will you do so? That's the question. May the Lord give us grace. Amen. Now lift up your hearts and receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.